Thank you for the word you've given him to
share.
We open our hearts.
We
pray you would anoint the preaching and our listening.
And
have your way in us today, Lord.
In
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
It's wonderful to be with you this morning. I get to pop in on TCC about once a year, and it's always a privilege. This year I feel particularly privileged. We've been praying for a new venue, a new land for you guys. And it's been wonderful to come stand on the ground of our prayers. See that God doesn't just answer our prayers with, oh, I think I can give you a little something. That he is so generous in his answers to our prayers. So I want to speak about this God who answers prayers this morning. It's amazing how much you can learn about a person when you watch them on the telephone.
What's
more amazing, you can learn more about the person they are speaking to on the other side. They are not even here, and yet you are learning things about them. They are invisible. You learn by watching the person on the phone. Not just the words they use, but their tone and their manner. Is it an important person on the other side of the phone? Yes, I'm sorry. Okay, I'll do that immediately. I'll try
harder.
Is it someone that is not important at all on the other side? I told you to get it finished. Don't mess it up again. We're learning about a person we cannot even see. I want to speak about the Lord's Prayer. It teaches us how to conduct our side of the telephone conversation. But it is amazing how much we learn about the God we are praying to. Let's read Matthew 6:9-13.
Go for it, Vivian. Rainai zay any an-danitra, ho amasinina ny anaranao, ho tonga ny fanjakanao, atao ny sitraponao ety an-tany tahaka ny any an-danitra. Omeo anay anio ny anona sahaza ao anay, ary mamelany elokay tahaka ny namelanay izay meloka taminay, ary aza mitondra anay ho amin'ny fakapanahy fa manafahanay amin'ny ratsy.
And so it's so valuable that Jesus teaches us how to pray.
Tena sarobidy mihitsy hoe nampianatra antsika hivavaka Jesosy.
Jesus hasn't studied the theory of prayer.
Jesosy tsy hoe nianatra hoe izao ny teorian'ny nivavaka.
He says, no, I've been with the Father for all of eternity. I know who he is. This is the kind of way you should speak to him. What a valuable lesson on who the Father is. Let's look at what we learn. The prayer starts with the most important words, I think. Our Father. It's easy to rush on into the prayer. But I think we need to stop right here. Jesus doesn't say, pray, great God out there somewhere. Our Father. One theologian once said, if you want to judge how well somebody understands Christianity, find out how much they make of the thought of being God's child. What they think of having God as Father. And if this is not the thought that drives their Christianity, causes their worship and their prayers, they probably don't understand Christianity very well. It's wonderful to know. We pray to a Father. A kind and gracious Father. You ever heard anyone answer the telephone when they have a kind and gracious Father? There's warmth and peace. Ah, hello, Father. It's so good to be in contact with you. Let's find out what this Father is like. The first thing we find is that this Father is great and mighty. Verse 9, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. And your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we pray to our Father in heaven. He is seated in this amazing place. As we pray to him, God, I desire peace in my life. I desire righteousness in the way I live. Amongst the chaos of the world I live in, God says, I know a place of perfect peace. I'm seated in heaven. There's peace and righteousness all around me. I can relate to your desires for peace. Your desire to be away from the chaos and the stress. It's so good that we pray to a God in heaven. Imagine we prayed, oh God, it is so chaotic here. I need help. And God said, oh, but not right now. There's chaos here where I am too. I'm very busy. I don't have time for your problems. I've got my own. Are we going through a recession up here and there's some corruption I'm trying to sort out? Our God says, I am in perfect peace. I'm perfectly at rest. I'm in a place to hear and receive and answer your prayers. He's a God who is perfect.
tena hoe andriamanitra tonga lafatra
izy. He sits in this perfect place.
Ary mipetraka ao amin'ilay toerana tonga lafatra izy.
And one day we will be there with him.
Ary indray andro any koa tsika hoany hiaraka aminazy.
But even now we have a sense of this place as we join him in prayer.
Eny fa na dia amin'izao azy tsika dia efa ohatra nitsapantsika sady ilay toerana rehefa hoe miditra ao aminazy amin'ny alalan'ny vavaka tsika.
And then we say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And we're saying your name is perfect. And this idea of holiness is beautiful. Some people think that God's holiness just makes him scary. But God's holiness gives us confidence to pray to him. He is perfectly just. He is perfectly consistent. You never catch him on a bad day. He never says, oh, I'm not feeling very fair today. You pray about your situation or your city or your country.
The
desire to see things change. You can be confident your desires are lining up with his.
The
God who always wants the right thing. The prayer goes on, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we see that God is not only one who desires the right things, but is perfectly able to make them happen.
He
just say, oh, I've got good intentions. But I'm not quite strong enough to make them happen. He says heaven is a place of perfect order. All the desires of God perfectly worked out.
And
so as we appeal to this God, we can know he does whatever he pleases, whenever he pleases. See, praying is very different from hoping. Sometimes we can pray like a spiritual form of hoping. Maybe a non-Christian says, oh, I really hope I win the lottery, the competition with money. The Christian more spiritual. Oh, I really pray I win the competition. They're actually both just hoping. And they're calling it a different thing. The Bible says an interesting thing in Romans. The Christian has a special type of hope. A hope that never disappoints. Imagine that. A hope that never disappoints. In God, you win the competition every time. Not always at the time that you would like to win it, hey? Some things resolve in God later than you would expect. And even those things that never quite come right in this life, health issues or relational problems, the Bible says there will be a day when all is made right.
I think it'll
also be a day when we are so glad God answered no to some of our prayers. God, back then I thought I really needed that. I was so convinced. Looking back from the wisdom of eternity. Oh God, thank you for saying no. Thank you for saying, my silly, silly child, I will never give you that.
I
just hope that will not disappoint in the long run. Let's finish up with the next verses. Verses 11 to 13. To summarize, they say four things. Give us. Forgive us. Lead us. Deliver us. Amazing. We've just reminded ourselves of how big and strong this God is. But we find that He is also intensely personal. What kind of king allows you to say, give me, forgive me, deliver me, lead me? King that is also personally connected to us. Imagine Barack Obama. Maybe the most powerful man in the world.
For a little while longer.
Maybe he plans a trip to Antananarivo. And you find yourself on the Avenue of Independence. And here he comes walking down the road. And you decide, I would like to meet this man. And you start to move towards him. No chance. Big bodyguards, bigger than me. Very serious looking. Dark glasses. Deep voices. Can we help you? They don't want to help you. Not the real question. Go away. This man is too important. He doesn't have time. But there are two little girls. And they come running past you. They give a high five to the bodyguard. They run up and the most powerful man in the world picks them up.
You
see, their names are Sasha and Milia. The daughters of the most powerful man in the world. This is the picture of this prayer. The one who is in heaven, perfectly holy. Absolutely right in all that he does. Is the one who bends down to embrace us. Is the one who allows us through the bodyguards. The bodyguards of the perfection of the law. Bodyguards say, no, you may only come past here. If you have lived a perfectly righteous life, and our first brother Jesus says, no, guys.
I've
opened a way to the Father here. Come on in. I want to encourage you. As you look at this powerful prayer, not to consider just a list of principles of prayer, but to consider the one on the other side of the conversation. It'll keep you out of just praying out of obligation. I'm a Christian, I really should pray. Who wouldn't pray to this kind of God? On every occasion that they could. Can I pray for us as we close? Our Father in heaven, we are so grateful. We don't deserve to be able to pray like this. When we think of who you are and who we are, we should really just lie down flat on our faces and say nothing. And yet by the finished work of Jesus, you say, get up, you're not servants.
Deus sons
and daughters. What a magnificent privilege. We want to pray that we would access and use this closeness in the week ahead, God. We pray that you would lead us and deliver us this week. We pray that through our lives your will would be done. That our part of Antananarivo would look a little bit more like heaven and a little bit less like earth. As you inspire us to live lives that make a difference. In this precious name of Jesus, who opens up the way through the bodyguards to the glorious Father. Amen.
Amen.